Today's reading from Scripture is from first epistle or letter of Paul to Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. This is inspired and infallible word of God. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Jesus Christ. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. According to the book of Acts, Paul spending about 3.5 years preaching at Ephesus. Then Paul left the church in the hands of a young preacher named Timothy. Of course, Timothy was young. In his first pastorate, and he had already encountered his share of problems. If you look carefully at the first letter, we will find he had to fight false teachers in the church. In chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And there was a rise of false doctrines. Chapter 1, verses 13 through 3 to 7. And there was disorder in the worship services. And there was need to find and ordain qualified leaders. And of course, materialism. In the midst of this, Timothy had a lot on his plate. He was a busy man. Therefore, Paul writes to encourage this preacher to continue to serve the Lord faithfully. He also writes to challenge him to continue to grow in the Lord and to stand for the truth in spite of all the opposition he was facing. In an effort to encourage this young preacher, Paul uses his life as an example of what Jesus can do through his grace and through his power. I would like to take some time to look at Paul's personal testimony this morning, because I believe that what Jesus did for Paul, he has done also for you, me, and you. Therefore, I have a three-point sermon this morning, and you got outlines there. The testimony of a sinner, saint, and servant. When we look at verses 13 and 15, we find there the testimony of a sinner. Especially, let's look at verse 13. And in verse 13, under this title, I have three subtitles: the deeds of sinners, and deception of the sinner, and diagnosis of sinner. In verse 13, We will see the deeds of sinner. By Paul's own admission, he was guilty of breaking all the commandments of the Lord. He calls himself a blasphemer. As a blasphemer, he had spoken evil and slandered the name of God. In doing so, he had failed to obey, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He failed to obey that command. And as a persecutor, he was guilty of murder, hatred, and unspeakable acts of brutality against his brothers and sisters. In this way, he had failed the command to love your neighbor as yourself. Paul was a sinful man, and he stood guilty before God. Of course, he was very religious, but he was lost in his sins. Before we come down too hard on Paul, we need to take a closer look at ourselves. We are as guilty as Paul was. We too have nothing in our past to brag about. Lost and undone before God, wicked to the core and deserving hell. We are as guilty, as I said, as Paul was. This is the way we were like Paul. We were like Paul when God found him and us. And that was the deeds of sinners. That was us. Again in verse 13, we will see the deception of sinners. How sinners are deceived. And how Paul was. And how we were. Paul says that he did what he did in ignorance. He did what he did in ignorance. He's not making excuses like we do. Like our children sometimes do. That was just an accident. He's not making excuses. He's simply stating the fact. Paul did not understand the ramification of his actions. He did not understand. He thought he was earnestly and faithfully serving the Lord by persecuting God's church. He had rejected Jesus and the gospel message because he was sincerely trying to earn his salvation. That's what we've been doing, especially as a Roman Catholic. I did. Regularly. Worshipping Mary. And doing acts of good to earn our salvation. Do you see the deception of this sinner? Paul, great Paul. He was trying hard to earn his salvation. By obeying the law. He was in a state of blindness until Jesus came and opened his eyes. Again, Paul's life should reflect the deception of our lives before we came to Jesus Christ. We were the same. We were deceived. And there was deception. According to the Bible, all lost sinners are blind to their condition and their destiny. Paul himself, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says, In whose cause the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They are, in fact, dead and dead in trespasses and sins. None of us can see our condition, our need, or the way out of hell. Until the Holy Spirit quickens us and points us to Jesus Christ. We saw the deception of sinner, and in verse 15, we will see the diagnosis of sinner. Paul sums it up when he claims the title. When he claims the title, chief of sinners or foremost of sinners, he calls himself, I am the chief of sinners. Paul was saying, before Jesus saved me, I was as bad as a man could get. I'm still wicked to the core of my being. But now I am saved. A totally depraved sinner, chief of sinners, Paul saw himself as the foremost of sinners, or all. Many in our day would hasten to correct Paul's self-image and restore his self-esteem. But that was a healthy self-view for Paul because it was accurate. Diagnosis. It's hard to imagine anyone worse than a blasphemer of God and persecutor of the church. Blasphemy is a big thing in our country. I think they think that's the biggest sin. So there are so many people suffering because of that act there. And so it was the worst. Such a view of himself, Paul is saying, I was blasphemer and persecutor. Such a view of himself also helped to keep Paul humble and grateful. Do you see what happened to Paul, his earlier life and after life? Such a humble and such a violent and humble. When we look at our lives, don't we see so much room for improvement? Like Paul had? Maybe not much. But there is a lot. Our lives will ever be the testimonies of sinner. But not lost sinners as any longer who are in Christ Jesus. Now we were sinners who have been made saints by the grace of the Lord as Paul was. So our second point in verses 13 and 14 is, after looking at the testimony of sinner, is the testimony of a saint. Under this we will see two things. We will see the means and manifestation of saints' conversion in verses 14 and 13. So first we will look at the means of saints' conversion. Especially second part of verse 13 and first part of verse 14. In his testimony as a saint, Paul tells us about two great gifts from the Lord resulted in his salvation. What were those two gifts? These two great gifts or means from the Lord are two words found in verses 13 and 14. They are two words. And they are means of grace. What are those? Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. In his mercy, God did not give Paul the condemnation in hell that he deserved. That's Paul's confession. That's what Paul is saying. God did not give him the condemnation in hell that he deserved. It is the same with us. He did not give us condemnation, rather he saved us, what we deserved. On the contrary, in grace God him the perfect salvation that he did not deserve. It was mercy that held off the wrath of God when Paul was persecuting the church and blaspheming the name and message of Jesus Christ. That was mercy. And it was grace that came to him that day on the Damascus Road, confronted him concerning his sins, and saved his soul. Paul tells us that the grace that sought him and bought him was exceeding and abundant in these verses. The grace that sought him and bought him was not little. It was abundant, exceeding abundant. This means that God had more grace than Paul needed. Where his sin had abounded, God's grace did much more abound. This is what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Again, back to our text in verse 13. When Paul says that he obtained mercy according to King James, New King James Version, and maybe in our pew Bible, he was shown mercy. He obtained mercy, or he was shown mercy. That phrase is in the passive voice. He was shown mercy, or he obtained mercy. That is in the passive voice, not in the active voice. This implies that Paul did not seek mercy, but mercy found him. It was given freely. He did not deserve mercy. He did not deserve mercy, but mercy came to him anyway. And he did not understand mercy, but mercy became his anyhow. He did not deserve, he did not understand, but he found mercy. It was God's gift to him. Remember, we who are saved this morning are saved because of the same two gifts from the Lord, from the hands of glorious God. Mercy and grace, which found Paul. It was his grace that reached out to us in the love to confront us and call us to Jesus Christ. It was grace and grace alone that saved our souls. Again, Paul reminds in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul reminds us this way, "For by grace you have been saved through the faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." And dear people of God, his grace is more abundant than our sins. You are not going to heaven by the skin of your teeth. You are going to heaven held tightly in the grip of sovereign grace. This grace was not just sufficient for the salvation of Paul's soul, but grace that is exceeding abundant to save all those who believe in Christ Jesus. After looking at the means of saints' conversion in verse 14, we will see the manifestation of a saint's conversion. A manifestation of a saint's conversion. I will read for verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Jesus Christ." The grace was abundant. God poured abundant means upon Paul and us. But here we see that was abundant with what? Abundant with faith and love. When abundant grace came, it brought with it faith and love. When abundant grace came on Paul and on us, it brought with it faith and love. That's what Paul is saying. That is the manifestation of the saint's conversion. When the Lord saved Paul, he was able to believe. And he did. And we did. And he was able to believe that which he had previously denied. Previously he denied Jesus Christ and his message. But now, after grace was poured upon him, through faith alone, he was able to believe. When grace came, came, it allowed to love the Lord and people of God. Do you see Paul's love after his conversion for the Lord and his people? No, that's what God's grace in salvation will do for us. That's what it does. It will cause you to believe things you have already always doubted, like Paul. It will cause you to love things you always hated. It will cause you to love people you always hated. In other words, salvation will change your life completely, totally, eternally. Again, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." This is a testimony of a saint and a manifestation of saints' conversion. In verse 12, now we come to our third point. We saw the testimony of a sinner and a testimony of a saint, and we will see in verse 12 the testimony of a servant. How Paul was a sinner, saint, and a servant. This is the same thing in every believer's life. Testimony of a servant. In this verse, I also see two things. We will see the reason and the resources for the service. What is the reason for service? And what are the resources provided by God for our service? And verse 12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service." Who's putting us into the service? God himself. And this was Paul says that he is serving the Lord because Lord put him in his service in this ministry. It is not God, it is not Paul who wanted to serve. The Lord put him in this ministry and he found him faithful in that ministry. Paul did not choose to go into ministry. Same with me. I never wanted to be a pastor or missionary. Or especially, I never wanted to come to America. Yeah. It reminds me. Yeah, lots of things. Praise God for that. Same thing. Paul did not choose to go into this ministry. He became a preacher and an apostle by the will and power and grace of God. The Lord took him and put him where he wanted him to serve. But when he was placed there where God wanted him, he served faithfully. Paul served faithfully for the glory of God. This was Paul's challenge to Timothy. He was encouraging Timothy, a young preacher, that God has placed you in the church at Ephesus. So it is with all those who are saved this morning here or around the world. With all those who are saved, the Lord chooses our places of ministry for us. Whatever gift he has, we were talking in our Sabbath school class about the gifts God has given us. Whatever gifts he has given us, he gives us for the ministry of service, and our duty is to serve him there, wherever he has placed, faithfully. If he has placed you in Shawnee, Johnson County, Kansas, serve him faithfully. But Christ has not only placed us here for ministry of service. He has given us resources for this service. He is the one who will help us to accomplish or to do his ministry. What are those resources? Let us again look at verse 12. What are those resources? I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. So who has strengthened? The Lord has strengthened. Paul tells us that he's serving in this call because Christ has strengthened or enabled him for this task. The word strengthened means to be enabled with power or means. Paul did not serve because he was a great preacher or teacher. Of course he was. But he is not serving there because he was great. He did not serve because he had a great intellect. Of course he was a great intellect. But that's not the reason. He did not serve because he has any inborn abilities. He served by the power of God, which enabled him to serve. He was energized by his call and for his office by God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you need not fear what the Lord may call you to do in his service. For if he calls you, he will prepare, enable, and use you, and provide all the means you need. He will provide you all the resources you will need to get done his ministry or the service he has given to you for his glory. Look at verse 16. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. The reason God has given mercy or poured mercy and grace upon Paul is that God wanted to make him as an example, a showpiece. Paul says that the reason God chose to extend his mercy and grace toward him was to use Paul as an example or a pattern. God wanted Paul as proof of his long suffering. God wanted everyone who saw Paul to understand that if he would save this man, this stubborn man, he will save anyone who will come to Christ. The word example or pattern means a sketch, an outline, or a summary of exposition. I think Paul is making two great statements here when he's saying Christ demonstrated his perfect patience as an example for those who will believe in Christ. The first statement he's making that if God even saved Paul, he can do the same thing with anyone in this world. Anyone. Anyone of you. Anyone out of the church. The second thing he's saying that the way God saved Paul is a pattern that reveals how others are to be saved. How others are saved and how we are saved. Not the whole light or audible voices, but convictions of sins. Conviction of sins. And faith in the crucified Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, my life is a showpiece. God has saved me and put me on display for his for His glory to point others to Christ. Christ has made me a showpiece to reflect the glory of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why He saved you and me. God saved us to set us out before a lost and dying world to tell them, if I can be saved by Christ, if He can save me, He can save you too. Anyone who believes in Him. He saved us to be a trophy of His grace and living testimonies of His love, His life-changing power. Paul remembered what he was before Jesus found him, and all that what Jesus has done for him. Paul set the right example for us. He set the right example for us. Every saint needs to remember where Jesus found you. Do you remember that? When He found you. And where He found you. Every saint also needs to remember where Jesus found him, where He has brought them. This morning we were talking about our church and about a testimony. You remember. Again, I would say, I never wanted to be with you, brothers and sisters. But it's God. He's been doing. What He's doing to you and where He is taking you. Do you know that? Do you remember? When we consider where He found us, what He did for us, what He is doing in us, and where He is taking us. How could we possibly refrain from praising Him? How could we? With Paul, we cannot hold back our anthem of praise, bursting into a doxology of praise to glorify God in verse 17. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, we praise You for Your loving kindness and long suffering. We thank You for what You have done for us and doing in us. You have turned us sinners to saints and saints to servants. Lord of Lords, use us as an instrument of Your service, gospel and glory in this world, around us, wherever You have put us and placed us. In Christ's merciful name I ask. Amen.